Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. To an attorney prior to and during any question. You can't afford one, a court appoint one for you. You understand your rights?
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah, you thought you had it licked. But Detective Overton made your sugar turn to shit.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that are of a sexual nature. It should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off the internet or from some television show. The facts we're retelling you were presented to us by the victims of the crimes, or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My description of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this patron bonus episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And y'all, if you're listening to this, it means you are a patron member. Vandalism tearing up, and you know I appreciate you, and I thank you for your support, and I love our patron members.
Hey guys, no, you're not losing your mind. Even if you're not a Patreon member, you are hearing this exclusive bonus episode. Oh, and by the way, Toby Tomplay here. I'm the producer of Real Life Real Crime, the podcast. Woody has been super busy, boots on the ground. In fact, he just called me a little while ago from Jackson, Mississippi, and he told me that he's not even going to be able to record a new episode from the road right now, let alone come to the studio. And we decided we're going to give you guys a little sneak peek into one of the Patreon bonus episodes. So what is Patreon, you may be asking? Patreon is like the VIP of Real Life Real Crime lifers. You basically just subscribe to making a small donation to the podcast, and it's what keeps this podcast alive. We absolutely could not do the podcast week after week if it was not for the support from the Patreon members, which is why you always hear Woody say, "We love and appreciate each and every one of you." And especially a big thanks to the Patreon members, because it's the Patreon members that allow us to do the podcast. So what do you get by becoming a Patreon member? Well, you get a variety of bonuses and benefits, anything from bonus episodes and videos that no one else gets to hear or see, to Woody actually calling you at your home and having a chat with you. Needless to say, the benefits are very cool, so if you haven't already, please sign up to be a Patreon member. And Patreons, hope you enjoyed Beat It, that was released a few days ago, and since we're using last month's bonus episode and we're playing it tonight for the rest of the world to hear, that's going to be replaced in a couple days by a brand new Patreon episode called Family Tradition, and look out for it. It's going to be good. And last but not least, Woody asked me to ask you guys to send out some prayers to all the victims of Hurricane Laura and Hurricane Sally and the wildfires over on the West Coast. Please send your prayers out to those families and friends. So that's it, y'all. Toby Tomple here. I'm going to get back to work on the brand new Cold Case podcast that Woody and I are working on now. So you guys enjoy this bonus episode called Swim, previously only available to Patreon members.
We sent out a poll to y'all this month on what benefit y'all like the most. And it's everybody said more content, right? So I'm going to add some more stuff throughout the month as the months go along. I'm going to record some different things for y'all. They may not be real long, et cetera, or maybe a quick story. If I'm driving by somewhere and I'm thinking about it, I'll shoot a video. So look for more content. And again, appreciate you being a patron member and just love, love, love you. So that being said, today's episode is named SWIM, S-W-I-M, and I guess it's an acronym for someone who isn't me. So I'm gonna tell you a story today, and the person in the story is SWIM. It's someone who isn't me, and that's what I'm sticking to. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So if I say I or anything like that, or refer to myself or whatever, just remember it's SWIM. And I think at the end of the story, you'll get why I named it that. So way back when, there was an investigator that worked for the Louisiana State Police, criminal investigator. And he was driving home one evening and stuck in traffic. And he got a phone call from a chief of police from, and y'all, I'm not going to name any names on anything today. Remember, SWIM. And the chief of police had been a friend of mine, and we had worked together at some point in the past at another, when we were both at another agency. And he said, "Hey, man," he said, "what are you doing?" And I said, "I'm riding home, bro." I said, "What's up?" And he said, "Look," he said, "I really, really need your help." And I was like, "Dude, what's wrong?" And he said, "Can you please go to my department? And I need your help." Now, his department is a small department. They didn't really even have an investigator. So I said, "What happened?" I said, "What do you need?" And he said, "Look, one of our richest neighborhoods got burglarized today." And he said, "It's not kids." He said they didn't just, you know, steal any old thing. They went in and hit several of the houses, and they stole like gun collections and jewelry, and, you know, he said like professionals. And he said, and the problem is one of them is one of the residents is a judge, the judge's house. He said another one is a high ranking politician in the parish. And he said, SWIM, this is a like huge political case. And I said, "Well, when did they find out?" I said, "What's the deal?" And he said, "We didn't start getting the calls until around 4 something. And when the first person got home, now all these victims that got hit, y'all, were, you know, actually, you know, had jobs and shit like that, right? Well-to-do people. But he said, "Man, this is, you know, an ape," which is, I call him an acute political emergency, an ape. And he said, "I really need your help." And I said, "Well, you know, didn't you call a sheriff's office?" He said, "Yeah." And we're out in the field dealing with these people, these complaints of their houses, trying to get a list of all their items and everything. And he said their detectives they have a couple of detectives that they sent, but it's their night shift guys. And he said, "This, so they're shorthanded, and one of them's getting called off on something else." He said, "Now look," he said, "I got one of the suspects. We have a video of him driving the car through the neighborhood several times on the same video." He said at one point there were some other people in the car with him. He said, "I know who the guy was." And he said, "He's a longtime good, what I call a good bad guy." And he said, so he had an outstanding warrant for traffic or something. He said, I just sent my guys to arrest him, some of my uniform guys. He said, and they're going to meet you at the PD. And he said, can you come over and help them? He said, that, you know, Woody, they don't know what they're doing. And this is a major investigation. And he said, and not knocking the sheriff's office guys or whatever. He said, but I really, really need you to help me on this one. And I said, look, technically you need to call it in through the higher ups, powers that be, to request me. He said, I can't, you know, can't do that. And I don't have time. You know, he said, it's after hours and the state police are going to be closed. He said, if we, you know, come help me, please. Now back it up, y'all. I've worked several homicides and major cases and solved some major cases for this department over the years with different agencies, we'll leave it at that, or SWIM did. And so this guy knows what type of work I brought to the table. And he was like, man, he said, I'm not going to win my next election if I don't solve this shit. He said that this is all my biggest backers. He said, I'm begging you. I said, dude, you don't have to beg me. I said, I'll go over there. I said, so the bad guy's on his way, right? He's in rally. He said, yeah. He said, there'll be two officers. You know, you can go through the back door and they'll have him in the back room. I said, all right. So I drive to the police department and get there, and it's a small building, and there's the police parking is in back. There's no cameras and none of that, but the cops would go through the back door of the building, not the front door, especially after hours. And that's where they park their units. And I get there and I pull in, and I see the two officers getting the guy out of the car in handcuffs, and he's handcuffed in the front, not behind his back. And I pull up and I get out, and they're going to the back door, and I said, hey, hold the door for me. And I would be dressed in dress clothes with a badge on and gun on my side. And I didn't really know these two cats, but they knew who I was. Evidently, the chief had called them and told them that I was coming. Now, these guys, I guess in police work and law enforcement in general, there's a lot of interagency pissing contests on stuff like this, right? And I mean, they're thinking, well, you know, why do we have to have these guys brought in or have him brought in to help me? And, you know, whatever. You get that. I guess you get a lot of A-type personalities, et cetera. And so I didn't want to go in there and just make them look like idiots or I'm sure they were fine cops, but I know that they're, you know, most of their time was spent writing tickets and accidents. So they let me in the door, and the guys look at me, and as I'm walking up, the one of them's holding the door, the other one's leading the guy through the door, and he turns around and looked at me and he said, who the fuck are you? Let me describe this guy. He was like probably in his 40s, white male, not an obvious doper. I mean, he didn't have mess sores and he wasn't tweaking or anything like that, but he threw it right on me hard. At first he said, who the fuck are you? And when I walk into the back room of the police department, the back room of the police department has a couple tables. It's like a common area where they bring people in, and I guess they didn't even have, this police department didn't even have an interview room, I'll put it like that. They would bring people in there, and it's like maybe their break room. It's all a kind of multi-purpose room. So they bring him in, and he said, who the fuck are you? And I said, I'm Swim. And he said, oh, you a pretty motherfucker. And he's trying me, right? And looking me in the eyes, he said, you a pretty motherfucker, Swim. You's a pretty motherfucker. You know, you put your gold badge on and the boot on. You a big shot motherfucker, huh? And I said, well, I gotta be a motherfucker, man? And so I'm just playing with him. And remember, I told you in past episodes, you never really want to start out high on somebody. I could have started out jumping up and cursing them, et cetera. But if you do that, you don't have anywhere to go, right? If you start out high, you can't back it down. I mean, your attitude with the person. And so I said, yeah, man, I'm pretty, you know. I said, let's go on in here. So I sat down at the table, and I went with one of the officers in the hallway, the senior officer. There's a door that separated from that room. I said, what's the deal? And he said, well, we've got him on film from one of the residences driving a car several times on that street, like making several trips. And he said on the first time he came in on, now this neighborhood probably didn't have 30 or 40 houses in it. But it had the one main way in and out, and there weren't cameras back then, weren't as prevalent as they are now. Like there wasn't ring doorbells and shit, and everybody didn't have one. So they got lucky to have any footage at all. And, he said, we got him coming in with two other white males and got him leaving several times. And then the last time that his vehicle exited, and this was all earlier in the morning, y'all. The last time his vehicle exited, the guys, there were passengers and two other people were in the vehicle with him. So that tells me they were going in and hitting houses. He probably dropped them off and they were going in and hitting them. They would load the car up and he was taking the merchandise somewhere that wasn't that far away because he wasn't gone from the neighborhood for that long. And meanwhile, he's going, evidently they were getting so much stuff. He would take a carload and go drop it off and he could come back and they hit another house to get another carload of shit. So I said, what you got him on? He said, we got him on a bullshit traffic warrant, an outstanding warrant, and then bring him in and question him. He said, I know what I'm doing and I'm going to question him. And da, da, da. I said, hey, man, I'm just here to help. I said, I'm not trying to step on your toes or anything. Yeah, you know, I said, but this is kind of what I do. And I said, your chief did call me. So we'll go back in there and sit down. And he immediately starts back in on me again. And he said, yeah, you pretty motherfucker. And he said, you state boy here. And then I just was quiet. And the officer started.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried Astapro? It's faster, bro. Oh. Right? Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this. And you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astapro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astapro and go.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition. The true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
One of them said, listen, where were you today? And the guy said, the fuck you mean where I am? I mean, he was real belligerent, y'all, a real asshole. He said, what the fuck you mean? Where was I, Sarge? Well, as soon as he said that, I'm like, oh, fuck, here we go. And again, he said, the officer said, well, where were you? And he said, I was where I was. And I stopped and said, whoa. I said, just stop. I said, first of all, I said, have you been advised of your rights? He said, they told me my rights when they arrested me. I said, no. I said, y'all need to advise him of his rights before we start any kind of line of questioning. Okay. I said, as a matter of fact, I said, I need to talk to you in the hallway again. So I took that officer back in the hallway. I said, go, do you have his criminal history? And he said, no. I said, go print out his criminal history. And he said, why? I said, well, because he's a fucking convict. He called you Sarge. And if they call you Sarge, that means they've done serious prison time. That means they've been institutionalized. And they look at anybody in a position of authority, and they still calling you Sarge. Because all corrections officers are pretty much a sergeant, right? And that's just a convict term. And so I waited, and he went and ran the criminal history and came back. And he had, the list was long and distinguished, okay? He had a shitload of charges. But I think he had done like 14 years total prison time. Now, y'all, when you start out as a criminal, they don't send you, usually you don't go to the Department of Corrections on your first couple charges. You know, you'll get probation for a burglary, or you'll get, you know, whatever, probation, and then you'll get a suspended sentence or what have you. This guy started when he was young, and I think he was in like 42 now. But he started like at 18, which he probably started before that. And we in Louisiana, the juvenile records are locked up. So from 18 on, he had been arrested like 20 something times, I think. But the most serious, well, a lot of narcotics offenses and bullshit like that. But the most serious ones were two auto thefts. In three burglaries, and I think two of them were residential and one of them was a business. Okay, so let me digress for a second. The studies on criminals show that most white males outgrow their criminal behavior by age 24. Right, we all fucked up, and yeah, I did a lot of illegal stuff when I was young, probably, right? So but if you don't grow out of that behavior by age 24, the studies show that there's like a 90% chance you could be a criminal the rest of your life. And this guy did it. He's a career criminal. On other burglaries where people would go in and, like, you know, steal a TV or a DVR or something that they can flip quick for dope, this guy wasn't doing that. This guy was doing it for a living. And there you have it. And also, let me tell you this. Like 98% of all residential burglaries occurred during the daytime. And I always thought that was kind of odd. But reason why? Because the smart criminals aren't trying to break into somebody's house when they're home. They're not trying to get shot or, you know, rape somebody or whatever. They are doing it. The smart criminals will watch these houses. They'll find a target house that they want to watch. They know when these people go to work. and they know when they get home. So then they know how what their window of opportunity is to hit it. So this guy evidently, even though he'd been to prison a lot, you think about that. He went to prison mainly for those different sentences for years for those charges. But think about all the ones that he did that he never got called for. Okay. So you put it in that kind of context. He's borderline what I call a good bad guy, meaning that he's evidently pretty smart, but he's also an asshole. So I'm reading, and I told the guy, I said, listen, the officer said, listen, you got to Mirandize this asshole and get a consent to question him on before you start to question him on these burglaries. And he said, no. He said, I already Mirandized him. He knows his Miranda rights. I said, I understand, but then you're dealing with somebody who's been down a long time. You need to do this shit by the book, or a defense attorney is going to have a field day with you. If you go in there right now and he confesses to these burglaries, which I don't think he's going to do, but if you do and you don't take the time to get him past Miranda and get the consent to questioning, then the defense attorney, the first thing they're going to challenge is they're going to do a motion to suppress on the confession because you didn't Mirandize him about what you wanted to question. Well, yes, you Mirandized him on his rights about his arrest on the bullshit traffic warrant, but you knew you were bringing him in to question him about serious burglaries, and yet you didn't take the time. So the officer was kind of a little pissy with me, but he got what I was saying, and he went and got one of their Miranda rights forms. And it's a combination form. It has some Miranda rights on top, and they signed it in the bottom, and on the bottom part, it has a consent to question part that says, I agree to voluntarily answer questions and something like, I don't need a lawyer or want a lawyer at this time. No threats or promises have been made to me or what have you, whatnot. So we go back in. He said, man, what the fuck? And what y'all doing in there? Y'all in there fucking each other? And I'm like, this fucking asshole. And he's trying to get a rise out of me. And the officer was like, well, so you want you watch your mouth? And he said, I would like to watch your mouth go down on my dick. And I was like, oh, and y'all, I really don't suffer fools real well. Now I get this guy, he's an asshole, right? But I'll take it to a certain point and then I flash. But remember, I'm still down low with him. My job is to find out or get something to use against him on the burglaries to put his ass in prison and try to get these people their shit back. So we sit down, the officer starts, he said, listen, on the Miranda rights form, it has an extensive question form. It has a spot where you fill out the suspect's name and then what it is that you want to talk to him about. So he sits down and says, okay, your name is such and such. He said, we want to question you about burglaries in such and such neighborhood today. And then he read him his Miranda rights. He said, you understand your rights? I said, motherfucker, I know my rights. And I said, but do you understand them? He said, yeah, pretty boy, I understand my rights when he's looking at me. And he read the consent to question part. And he said, do you want to consent to question now without a lawyer? He said, bitch, I don't need a lawyer. He said, I'll answer any fucking question you got. He said, so he signed it, consent to question part, and the guy starts. And he said, okay, where were you today? And the guy said, I already told you. Suck my dick. I was where I was. Da, da, da. And he tried to ask him something else. And I stopped and said, look, come back in the hallway again, please. The officer, we went back in the hallway. I said, look, you don't have to beat around the bush with this asshole. It's not his first rodeo. Just get to the questioning. I said, try to lock him in to a statement so we can go disprove that statement. So we go back in. And he said, where were you today again? And the guy said, I already fucking told you that I was where I was. And I told you, you could suck my dick. And I said, all right, listen. And I stopped him. I said, listen, were you in such and such neighborhood today? And he stopped and looked at me. He said, what the fuck you want to know for, state boy? I said, were you in such and such neighborhood today? Yes or no? And then he looked at me and said, hey, man, you said you were going to accept the question. I said, either you are or you aren't. I mean, what's the deal? And he said, the deal is I would like you to come over here and unzip my pants and suck my dick. I said, all right. I said, cool, man. I said, look, stand up. And he stood up. And I stood up, and the officers were looking at me, and I said, listen, I'm going to be back in a minute. I said, he and I are going to go outside and have a talk. And the guy was like, what do you mean? I said, just let me go outside and talk to him. I'm going to question him a little bit. He already knows his Miranda rights. He consented to question. He and I are going outside to talk. I said, sometimes people will talk easier when it's not more people. He said, and the bad guy said, bullshit. You want to take me outside so you could suck my dick? Sarge, and I said, yeah, motherfucker. So we turned to go. We're walking towards the door, and he had his back to me, the bad guy did. And I'm walking behind, and I reached behind. The officer was coming with me. We got to the door, I reached behind, and I tapped him on his gun belt. Now, on his duty belt, he had his freeze plus P on the front in a holster on the front of his duty belt. If you're looking at a duty belt, it's like Batman's belt, right? The heavy work connects in the middle. Then on the right hand, if I was in uniform, on my right hand side, I would have right in front, I would have my freeze plus P. It's the first thing I can reach. My pistol would be the next. And on my left hand side, I would have my ASP, my collapsible baton. And then my two handcuffs would be in the back. My magazine pouches, what y'all would call clips, or right where I can reach with my left hand, et cetera. So I reached around and I took the freeze plus P out of the officer's holster and I put it in my pocket. And he kind of looked at me. And I just did my hand up. I said, just stay here. And we go outside and it's getting dark now. It was the winter time of the year, so it got dark early. And we go outside and I shut that metal door behind me. And he's like, what the fuck are you going to do, pretty boy? What you want to talk about? I said, hey, motherfucker. You can just cut the act. And I said, here's the deal. I know your criminal history. I said, I'm going to tell you straight the fuck up how this is going to go down. I said, well, we got your ass on video. And then I said, they're over there working it. I said, I know you made a career out of robbing houses and shit. And he started to say something. I said, just listen to me. I said, I know you made a career. You've done it. I said, you hadn't had too much of a successful career because you've been down for over 14 years. And I kind of called his attention, right? I mean, he's smart enough to listen for a second without being an asshole. I said, so here's the deal. This is how it's going to play out. I said, one of the houses you hit belongs to a judge. And he kind of looked at me and said, yeah, I'm not fucking with you. I said, and we got you on video several times, leaving in and out the neighborhood. I said, you had two of your homies with you. When you went in, I said, and then you made several trips out by yourself back and forth. And I said, and later on, you picked up two of your homies and you left. I said, so you're fucked. And we're going to find out who they are also, if we have to put it on the news or whatever, and we identify it. And the first one that talks is going to get the deal. I said, now your problem is this. And I took out my phone and I acted like I was calling, but I really wasn't. And I said, I'm calling the assistant district attorney right now, and I'm going to tell him about the case. And I called and I said, hey, so-and-so. And I said, hey, look, I'm on a burglary. I'm assisting an agency on a burglary, and it was of such-and-such neighborhood. I said, you know, Judge, such-and-such. And I'm like, I know you do. And I said, his house is one of them that got hit. And I said, you know, the politician, such-and-such. Yeah, I said, there's another one. I said, here's the deal. Got a guy, he's already done 14 years DOC time for burglaries. It's not his first rodeo. I said, he's being a real ass. And I want to know, will you habitual offender him this time? And I said, thank you. I said, yeah, he does. Definitely, he's going to be one that deserves it. And I hung up the phone and I turned to the guy and he was like, what the fuck, man? He said, you think you're going to get me, motherfucker? Da, da, da. I said, no, I already got you. He said, what do you mean? I said, I already got your ass. I said, what do you mean? I said, you just confessed to me. He said, what the fuck? And I said, you just told me you committed those burglaries. He said, I didn't tell you any such thing. I said, yeah, you did. They said, oh, so that shit ain't going to fly. So, yeah, it's going to fly. I said, guess what? We're going to go back inside now, and I'm going to tell them that you confess. And we get in there, and you were like, and you say, no, you didn't confess. Then I'm going to say that you did. Now you just changed the story, but we're booking you on probable cause on your confession to me. And I said, you're fucked. And said, well, I'm going to go personally and build this fucking case. I'm going to find your homies and the DNA. And once we get them, I'm going to put a rat jacket on your ass. You know, a rat jacket is the, I'm going to tell when I arrest his cohorts, I'm going to tell them that their information came to me by way of him, that he got arrested first and he ratted their ass out. And now look, a rat jacket for a convict, somebody like this asshole, is a big deal. Even though he could deny it, the damage would be done, right? And he certainly didn't want to go back to prison. First of all, he didn't want to go back and do life for these burglaries. And then he definitely didn't want to go back with a rat jacket on him. And it's easy to do that. And he knew I was serious. And he said, you're a motherfucking piece of shit. I said, hey, man, that's the way it's going to be. You know, you want some help? I said, I can call the DA back and tell him you fucking fully cooperated and we won't habitual offender you. You give up your homeboys and you say that they did it, and I won't tell them that you said that they did it. I said, but I'm gonna crack the fucking case either way. I said, I'm a fucking homicide detective. I said, burgers for me are like fucking eating a bag of chips. I said, I got called in as a favor on this. I said, but I'm gonna do your fucking ass. And he said, yeah, why don't you do my ass and why don't you suck my dick? I said, look, I said, if I was to suck your dick, and he looked at me, I said, if I was, and there wasn't much lighting outside, y'all. His back's against the unit. There's like one light in that lot, and there's a fence line on the backside, wooden fence. I mean, there's nobody but him and I. Okay, justice was just us. And I said, if I was to suck your dick right now, I said, show me with your mouth what I'd have to do. He said, what do you mean? I said, if I'm gonna suck your dick, make the motion with your mouth of what you want me to do. He said, yeah, I want you to suck my dick. You open your mouth like this. And he made the O, the circle with his mouth. And as soon as he did, I pulled that free plus P out. And I fucking jetted the whole can down his throat, in his face. And I fucking doused it down. He's like, ah. Now, let me tell you about freeze plus P. Freeze plus P is the, what I call the gift that keeps on giving. Okay, I could have punched this asshole in his mouth. The pain would have been over in a couple of minutes. Freeze plus P is actually tear gas and pepper spray mixed together. And it is one of the worst experiences you can have besides actually getting shot. Even tasers.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to improve any dog's health. What she discovered is that the way many dog foods are made can actually create toxins that could be wrecking our dog's health. And this is true for many premium brands. Fortunately, she found that just by adding a few special superfoods to her dog's food, she saw huge transformations in their health. She's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their dog's health. Now, my dog, Phoebe, is the queen of our house, and I can tell you that her health is extremely important to us. She is a part of our family. I watched the video, y'all, and I was amazed by the things I didn't know that could impact your dog's health. This 20-minute video is packed full of tips that I've already started with my dog, Phoebe. I'm noticing more energy, healthier skin and coat. If you want to keep your dog healthy and happy, go to badlandsfood.com/RLRC and watch Catherine's video right now. Again, that's BADLANDS FOOD.com/RLRC. Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
Tasers aren't that bad because they hit you with the voltage and it's over, right? And it's not like in the movies when you get tased and they show them knocking people out. And you get tased, which I never had a taser anyway, thank God, probably because I had to tase everybody just for fun. But only the assholes. But the Freeze Plus P, it takes it about a minute and a half to really, it burns when it first hits, but it's in about a minute and a half. Your eyes involuntarily close. It makes you feel like you're drowning, like you can't catch your breath. Really, you can, but it makes you feel like you're going to die. And then your face, it feels like you're getting pounded in the eyeballs with bricks that are on fire. I mean, it's just fucking bad. And it's, you know, snot slings everywhere and it makes you gag and the whole nine yards now. I've been sprayed with Freeze Plus P and training so many times with full facials. Throughout the career, fighting people almost every time, I would always use the Freeze Plus P. The only use of force continuum is what it's called, right? You have the Freeze Plus P on use of force continuum is right after verbal commands, meaning if I say, hey, you're under arrest, put your hands behind your back, and you're like, fuck you, not doing it. I can either go in and physically fight with you at that point to do it, or I can spray you. And then once you're incapacitated, it helps me affect the arrest. So it's right there. I mean, it's sort of like the lowest level on the force continuum. And females, if you're dealing with a drunk or a high female or whatever, and like you're under arrest, I'm like, fuck you, da da da. And I never put my hand on a female. I'd be like, no, fuck you. Spray them and wait for it to kick in. And then, but the beauty of the Freeze Plus P is it gets worse. And once this asshole sprayed him, like, you know, he did his mouth in a dick sucking motion. I just down the throat. They call it doing a T. You do a T with your hand while you're still spraying across his eyes. And then he's fucking going off. He's like, motherfucker. You motherfucker, you sprayed me. And I'm like, ain't gonna be two more of these motherfuckers walking around here, because I knew it was fixing to kick in. But in about 30 seconds, and then it really starts to hurt him. And then his eyes go closed, and then he starts like, and he's like, oh my God. And so I let it kick in hard on him. And, but like I told you, I don't really suffer fools that well. I mean, I'm gonna let him. Call me a dick sucker so many times and tell me he wants to fuck me and all of this. And I wasn't bullshitting about working the case. I was bullshitting about the calling the district attorney. I was bullshitting about, going back inside and telling the guys that he confessed, et cetera. I just wanted, I was trying to further the case along, and I knew he was going to be a hard nut to crack. But probably lost my cool a little bit that last time when he told me to suck his dick. And but I brought the freeze out. Honestly, I took the freeze from the officer because they had him cuffed in the front. And I took him the freeze plus P not to go out there with the intentions of spraying him. I took it out there in case Sugar turned to shit and he wanted to fight because they had him cuffed in the front. So anyway, he's, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, he fell to his knees and he's gagging and all that. And I said, hey, who's on his knees now, bitch? I said, who's going to suck whose dick? And he's like, oh, and he's like, water, please, water. And I let it kick in. And 5 minutes go as long. And I know what it feels like. And it's just absolute misery. But, you know, he's not going to die from it, right? Like I said, I've been sprayed with it 100 times. And then, he goes from the shock phase to the begging phase. Oh, please, Jesus, give me some water for my eyes. My eyes are burning. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. My eyes are burning. I said, what I'm going to do is stand you up. I'm going to walk you over here to the side of the building where there's a water hose, and I'll let you wash your face. I said, but are you going to tell me to suck your dick anymore? He said, man, I ain't telling you shit. He said, I ain't going to disrespect you no more, Sarge. I ain't going to disrespect you. I promise. I said, you promise. He said, I promise. I said, now, you going to talk to me about these burgers? He said, I'll tell you whatever you want to know. Just give me some water. So I took him over and turned the water hose on and gave it to him. He couldn't see. I mean, he's blind, right? I had to let him over and turn the water hose on. And what he doesn't know is adding water at first with Freeze Plus P makes it fucking burn worse. So he starts and he's like, oh, but it feels good for a second, but then it makes it really burn. And for a few minutes anyway. And then he starts, you know, he's crying and I'm holding the hose for him and I'm washing his face. And he's like, oh, it's burning. I burn. I said, it's going to be all right. I said, and I'll get you some ice. We'll go back inside. I'll get you some ice for your eyes because it really makes your eyes and all swell up. And so now we're best friends. This motherfucker's, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, John. I'm so sorry for disrespecting you. I mean, he said, I shouldn't have said all that shit. And he said, please don't put a rat jacket on me. Just please don't put a rat jacket on me. He said, I'll help you out, da, 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 et cetera. So finally, one of the officers came outside. He walked out and he sees the guy with a hose to his face. And he looks at me and I said, I got this, man. I said, we'll be back inside in just a minute. And he's like, I said, I'll be back inside in just a minute, just going back inside. And so we get, take about 4 or 5 more minutes. He's running in a hose. He didn't want to get away from his hose. He's like a baby on his mama's tit, right? It's like it's a lifeline because at the same time, it's, you know, cooling him down, it's still burning. He's like, oh, he's like, I mean, I totally got his mind right. And, you know, it takes all kinds. I mean, not everybody you have to go hard against. Not everybody you have to go soft against. Sometimes you just have to find that sweet spot. Did I lose my cool a little bit? Probably so. But he wasn't going to tell me to suck his dick again, ever, or that he was going to fuck me. He called me everything but a child of God. So get him. I said, you straight now? And he could. I said, look, the sooner you open your eyes, the sooner the burn will go away. And that's part of it, y'all. I mean, you physically can't open your eyes, and it hurts so bad when you try to go to open them. So I walked him through the process. Now he thinks I'm his savior. Totally forgets the fact that I sprayed the shit out of him. And I said, listen, you know, he's getting better. And he's like, he keeps apologizing and asking me not to put a rat jacket on him. And he said, he tells me he's going to cooperate. I said, well, tell me what the fuck you did. He said, man, I needed money. And me, I got two of my partners. And we knew, he said, I'd been scouting the neighborhood and I knew what houses to hit, who was going to be home. He said, I know what they had in them. But I knew who didn't have to punch an alarm when they went in. I mean, this guy was sharp. And I said, so who were your partners? And he told me. And when he told me, I said, hold on. And I called the chief. I said, hey, these are the other two douchebags. And I said, I got a confession out of him and he's going to cooperate. So I bring him back inside, long story short, and go back inside with the other officers. And they could tell he had been sprayed. I said, y'all, he took a swing at me. And I had to spray him with the freeze. I said, isn't that right? Whatever his name was. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. And he said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm sorry. So we sit down and I said, tell them what you told me, who it was that was with you, so we can start getting on these warrants and shit like that. I said, I don't want to be here all night. I said, I'm going to help you out with the district attorney. I said, I'll tell them that you cooperated fully. I said, I'm not even going to charge you for swinging on me. He said, I appreciate that. And I said, well, I appreciate you cooperating. And it's a long and short. They're in there getting the information. And I guess about 30 minutes had gone by or something. I don't remember. I was helping him write a, he told me where the firearm collection was, where he was. He told me where he was taking the items when he made the trips out of the neighborhood. So I was helping them write a search warrant for that residence. And they brought in, the chief and them brought in the other two assholes later on. And I remember I told you a search warrant takes a long time. You got to write it out and you got to get a judge and all that. But at some point, the chief brought the other two guys in and they were in handcuffs because it was probable cause arrest now for the burglaries based off this other guy's statement. And I told the chief on the phone, I said, when he told me they got him, I said, don't tell him that this guy ratted him out. I said, I'm not going to play it like that. We're going to play it like we have him on video at somebody's house or whatever. And he said, cool. He said, I'll let you handle it. So he brings the other guys in and my guy's sitting there, my hard ass convict sitting there at the table looking like a whooped dog. And he brings the guys in and I said, gentlemen, they're in handcuffs, cuffed behind their back. And I told him who I was and I said, and advised my rights. I said, listen, you're fucked. Gig's up. I said, not only do we have you on video inside several of the houses, I said, don't you think that those $500,000 homes are going to have cameras inside, nanny cams and shit? I said, we got you. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for those videos. I said, you guy here is your partner or your boss man is cooperating fully because we got his ass on video and he's smart enough to do with all the prison time that he's done that. Cooperation is the best thing. When the gig is up, the gig is up. The video doesn't lie. I said, so y'all can, do it the easy way or the hard way. I said, but you're going to get fucking time. I said, you broke into a judge's house and several different politicians and high ring, important people in the parish. I said, you're going to get done. I said, I don't know if you're on paper now. I mean, if they were on parole. I said, I don't know your career history. I said, but if we can habitually offend your ass, we're going to do it. And they looked at the guy. We're all sitting at the table and they looked at the guy that I sprayed and he said, what? He said, yeah, I already fucking told. He said, I told everything because they had us on video or they had y'all on video and they had me on video in the car. And he said, the other two that they brought in weren't old like this guy was. I think it might have been his nephews or something like that. They were in the early 20s. And one of them said, well, what you want me to do? What you want me to do? He said, I'm going to tell you what you fucking don't want to do. And he said, what? He said, you don't want to disrespect this investigator right here. He said, he is a bad motherfucker. He said, I will never fucking disrespect him again, ever in my entire life. He said, now fucking tell him what you know and we'll get a deal. And so that's what happened. I don't know how much time they got. I didn't follow it up. One of the good things about being assistant in another agency on a situation like that is they do all the paperwork on it, right? And SWIM should have done a use of force report and all that and charged him for the attempted swing. But hey, bygones be bygones. And I actually did tell the chief, I said, hey, you can tell whoever the DA is that handled this, that this motherfucker gets the golden pass. I said, yeah, he's a turd that won't flush. He's a career criminal. But, they don't need a habitual offender. And I said, honestly, because if it wasn't for him, you wouldn't have shit or we might not have been able to get shit. So they were able to go out and do all the field work and get like 99.9% of all of the valuables back, which is unheard of. And the chief got to look good for the powers that be in the parish and all that, and these assholes went to prison. So, but swim. Someone who isn't me is actually the character in that story. So if I said I or anything like that, every time I said I, it translates to swim. And it's just a story I made up. Get it? So love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Hope you enjoyed your patron bonus episode. I usually try to put one out the first week of every month. And again, I'm going to put out more episodes for y'all. I appreciate you. More episodes, more content, y'all. And as the month goes, throughout the month. So, and don't forget, you always get your commercial-free version of whatever the episode that I'm putting out for everybody is. You get it at least 24 hours earlier than what everybody else gets it. And when I'm able to, and some of y'all have been taking advantage of this, when I'm able to and I'm recording regular episodes, I'm going to video it for you. So you can watch me record live. Now, remember, if you're... When I'm recording live, I can't see the all the comments and stuff because I get into the store. Actually, I forgot they were, the patron members were watching me one time. But I went back and read the comments and, like, I can't hear him once I start recording the episode or his voice is so low. Well, that's because y'all, that's a bonus just for y'all. I'm doing that through an iPad. But when I'm recording into my system, which is then goes to Toby Tomplay and he produces it and edits it and all that. But with that video, the audio is going to be shitty. And I mean, but I can't do anything about that. So don't just watch the video. You get your commercial-free patron episode on, usually it's on Friday, 24 hours advance to everybody else. And the audio is jam up on that. And then on the commercial version that goes out to everybody has probably at least three or four commercials in it. You don't have to listen to that. And so you'll get that early. Your other benefits, don't be afraid to use them, y'all. I did some Zoom calls with patron members, $20 tier and up. Some people are finally using that benefit that have been on that tier for more than 3 months, and I'm glad that I had got to talk to a really great couple last weekend. I think we probably spent 45 minutes on Zoom, and it was cool as hell. I mean, I like to talk to people. I'm down to earth. Don't be afraid of me. Use your benefits. I want y'all to be happy, okay? Patreon members, are you meaning that much to me? And if you have any bitches or gripes or complaints, let me know. Let us know, and we'll get them dealt with. Other than that, love y'all. Appreciate you. Patrons rock. And till next time or ever, don't let me catch. Oh, I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace. Get ready. You're gonna do.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.